Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
His high school, and I believe also at his college, which is Marshall and, God, he told me before.
He's in two Hall of Fames?
I think so.
Woo!
Marshall and some other guy. Back East. I think it's Division III or NAIA.
But yeah, it was D3.
That's still pretty good.
Yeah, and I hear he's a great pickup player to this day. Let's talk Warriors.
All right, now I really want to get into Steinmetz and talk about his SATs and the first time he went on the Matterhorn.
We'll do that. We'll do a podcast on that.
Yeah.
And Matterhorn, where'd you get that from?
Going way back. Something's got to give, Herbs. The Warriors have won 8 in a row on the road. Boston has won 10 in a row. Can we still call it the Garden?
It's TD Garden, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the new Garden.
Yeah, they force it on you.
Remember the old Garden?
There's no funky dead spots in the wood.
I was just going to say, you had like Dennis Smith and Larry Bird knew where the dead spots were.
Yeah.
And that when the Bees would get done playing a game, it would still be wet.
Really?
And I love that.
That if you're checking a rookie, you're on the Celtics, you're playing in the old Garden with a dead spot, don't you kind of funnel that guy over towards the dead spot and just see his dribble disappear? And that's going to take a while to figure out.
Yeah. No, that's good. And Red Auerbach chewing on a cigar, which isn't very PC anymore, of course.
No, it's really not.
No.
He still would be doing it, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So Celtics, everybody says they are...
I'm sorry, the text line, Franklin and Marshall. Thank you for that.
Okay.
Maybe that is Matt. He just left. Maybe he just chimed in.
That's important.
His ears are burning. By the way, why did somebody have... Somebody on the text line, by the way, the Chilton Auto Body text line, we'd love to hear from you, 95795, and the toll-free number, we're very caller-friendly here. Except, remember, there's no such thing as a dumb question. There are hella stupid questions, but no such thing as a dumb question. 888-957-9570. Once again, 888-957-9570. Herbs, on that Chilton Auto Body text line, we were talking about Steiny is either in the high school or his college Hall of Fame. One of them. I think it's his high school.
But I thought you said both. Both is a better story.
I'm going to give him both because he's our boy.
Mm-hmm.
But on the text line, the 925 says, Guru is not in the James Logan Hall of Fame. What does that got to do with anything?
Nothing.
Why somebody got to hate on our boy Guru?
I don't know.
Everybody's our boy today, by the way.
Yeah, right. And you're using the word hell very liberally.
Yeah, and what's up with our boy Manson? I mean, he didn't get a proper burial. All right, so when you think about the dynamics of these two teams, and the Celtics, a lot of people thought that they were just going to go ahead and roll right through the East. Gordon Hayward was healthy. Kyrie was back. But Kyrie did his offseason shenanigans again that maybe he wasn't happy there. Maybe he's already looking ahead to his next team. Then he had this issue week and a half ago where he said, now I know what a pain in the butt I was to LeBron because now I'm dealing with all these, all these kids.
Knuckleheads.
Now. Yeah. And I thought Jaylen Brown from Cal had a good response. And it's basically finger pointing. Is not going to do anything. It's as a team we fail or we succeed.
Yeah.
And Kyrie actually said, yeah, you're right. And then Hayward is starting to come into his own after his horrific
injury. He's nothing close to what I thought he would be and what most people thought he would be.
And he
yet.
And it's hard to say he took a pay cut. It's kind of like when KD did too, when you're still making tens of millions of dollars. But he did leave some money on the table with Utah to play for the Celtics, and mm-hmm. I understand why he would do that. Yeah, you're right. He's not that guy that they paid all that money for just yet. But the Warriors, of course, it's now Boogie Down Productions, mm-hmm. KRS-One, with Cousins in there. And so that's a whole new look as well. And we've been kind of waiting for the Warriors to run into, I don't want to say a challenge, because every NBA game is a challenge, and if you take your eye off the ball, literally you're going to lose. But this is what we've been kind of waiting for, like a potential finals matchup, and it's pretty mouthwatering, I have to say.
Definitely one of those games that before the season even started, you kind of circled it or just made a mental note of it because, yeah, the Celtics were the prohibitive favorites to come out of the East. Toronto's going to have something to say about that, but if the Celtics maximize their potential, then they're a no-brainer finalist. they'll come out of the East. But it remains to be seen whether they can get the Gordon Hayward that they paid for. I mean, look, that was a horrific injury. And it's the same thing with, you know, DeMarcus Cousins. It may be, I mean, DeMarcus looks pretty good right now, but it may be a couple of months before he really gets his quote-unquote legs under him and starts to look like the DeMarcus Cousins everyone's used to. Probably the same dynamic going on for Gordon Hayward. I know he's been back the entire time, but an injury like that, different players heal in different ways. I think he'll eventually get back to who he was, but I think this matchup, what I'm saying is, you give me this matchup in 2 weeks, it's even more exciting because I think you'll see more of the teams that you're likely to see in June.
The thing about the Warriors, which I think is amazing, is that they still make every game a must-see.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of times I think when you have a team that just sort of continues to win, you get numb to it. You know, this is why the Niners fired George Seifert when he was the winningest coach in NFL history percentage-wise. He went 12-4, but they didn't go to the Super Bowl. You just get kind of used to it. Warrior fans, I have to give them credit. There have been very, very few moments where the Warriors are playing and you're like, eh, whatever. I'm going to say all 82 games are like, oh my gosh, I got to sell all my possessions and get to this game.
Right.
But this Cousins thing, it's just, I sort of feel like we've talked about this before, you and I, Herbs, as Bay Area natives and lifelong Warrior fans, is we had a gap from 1975 to 2015 where we only had about five fun years in that gap. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's sort of like the gift that keeps on giving. You know, it's like right when they reached a point, infighting, a little stale, maybe a little beatable. Right before they get Cousins, they start playing really well, and then they add in Cousins. And it's just like, thank you for the entertainment. And you know what? After all these years, we loyal Warrior fans, we deserve it, I think.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Steve Kerr said this a number of times, and it's for a variety of reasons, that DeMarcus's return, his debut, comes at the perfect time. Because, you know, we hear about, in baseball, the dog days of August, it's when, you know, the end of the season is too far away for that to be, you know, a light at the end of the tunnel. You're exhausted. This is kind of those dog days of August in the NBA schedule because the All-Star game's still 2-3 weeks away. You know, most teams are basically trying to not become stale and stagnant, whereas the Warriors, with Boogie coming in, everything's fresh and new, and I think that will carry them all the way to the All-Star break. I think it's great.
You know, I've always thought this about the NBA when you talk about dog days, because football is a business trip. You fly in, and after the game, you fly back.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend one night in that town, usually. Baseball, as you know, you can be in a town maybe for 5 days, as it depends, at least a few days. NBA, you fly in, you spend the night, and you fly out, and you're sitting, and it's during the winter. So you're in Milwaukee, 1:30 in the morning, they're de-icing the wings. I can just think about, there's probably plenty of times, more than any other sport, where an NBA player wakes up in a hotel room and has no idea where they are. And I think this is sort of that time of year. Mm-hmm. Kerr talked about it too, dog days, that this Cousins thing will keep everybody a little bit more, let's just say a little more spring in their step.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that this time of year, you would think the schedule makers have an impossible job. I'll just put that out there. I mean, they deserve a lot of credit for doing anything that even remotely makes sense. But I read the other day that there's 4 or 5 teams that in the week and a half or 2 weeks leading up to the All-Star game, they have 5 games in 6 nights. I mean, that's for that kind of stretch to come at this point in the schedule. That's as cruel as you can get when you're talking about someone staying in a 5-star hotel.
Right.
And
I know.
Charter flights.
I'll never have any sympathy for professional athletes, but yeah, if you look at the schedule and it says, let's see, Miami, on the road at Miami, on the road in Portland, on the road at Knicks, on the road at Lakers, on the road at Cleveland. What the hell are we doing here? All right, so we asked ourselves that a lot. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban, we would love to hear from basketball fans out there at 888-957-9570. Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. And we'll also touch on Antonio Brown today, who is unquestionably one of the best wide receivers in football, but also, I think, one of the great divas that we have in sports today. Do you want them, Niners? Huh? Do you want them? The Raiders have the draft capital to get this done, but it seems like Brown really wants to be a Niner. We'll talk about that next, 95.7 again.
Now back to Urban and Tittle.
On 95.7 The Game, Rick Tittle, Michael Urban, thanks for spending a little bit of your Saturday afternoon with us.
We've arrived, Rick. We just got the disembodied voice, just accustomed. They made a custom rejoin for us. It's got both of our names in it.
You know, it's funny, over the years when, like, we would get, a lot of times still to this day, we'll get matched up, we don't, and they will sort of just edit it together, you know. And now back to Rick Tittle, Zachariah, 95.
Who?
That one is that one actually works. All right, we got Sean Devaney coming up in the bottom of the hour, NBA writer for the Sporting News. I do want to take a look at the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795 because a couple of things that I need to address. One is from Potsy in P-Town. He said that it was good to see me at the Gridiron Gala last Sunday. Nice Gannon jersey, and I almost threw up. That's a Ken Stabler jersey. Gannon was a great quarterback, but he was also a giant ass.
I didn't notice that you were wearing a jersey.
I was wearing a Ken Stabler throwback, Mitchell and Ness, Philadelphia.
Did you have a jacket on over it?
No. I had my aura of pimpiness. Maybe that's
that
why
might have been it. I was distracted by your pimpiness. Nice word.
Also, somebody's saying, why aren't we talking about the All-Star game? I was at Skills Night last night. It was a great time. Right after the show, I'm getting down there. Get down there a little bit late, but I am going to the All-Star game. We're trying to move the needle, as always, but I'm a huge, huge hockey guy, huge, huge Sharks fan. I worked the game when I was here last time for Fox Television. That was 97, I think it was.
Yep.
But yes, absolutely fantastic. But there's another text here on the line. Steve Kerr mentioned herbs in the offseason.
Before we get there, can I tell you real quick my story that's just relating to Steinmetz, too? I hope he's listening.
Oh, let's go back to Steiny. Yeah.
Guru, I was there. Guru and I were hanging out, and somebody comes.
At the Gridiron Gala?
At the Gridiron Gala. And somebody comes up and wants to meet Guru and raves about him and loves the dynamic between he and Steinmetz. And there's the, you know, keep it light guy, and make bold predictions, kind of silly. And then there's Steinmetz, who's really serious and, you know, the crusty guy, and the vibe really works well. And then while he's kind of mid-story, Guru stops him and introduces him to me, right? The guy clearly wasn't listening because he thinks he just got introduced to Matt Steinmetz. So Guru bails on me because this guy's just chewing our ear off. And he goes through about, I didn't have the heart to stop him and correct him. A good 7 minutes, which is a lot longer than it sounds, of him breaking down my broadcasting game as Matt Steinmetz. Oh, my gosh. I could barely get away from the guy.
Well, you could have said something really bizarre and then had that attributed to Matt if you wanted to be really mean.
Yeah, like, excuse me, I've got some children locked up in my basement.
Oh, my gosh. You just took it 10 levels higher. Now, that's always fun. And the thing is, you know, it's so cool to talk to the fans. There was one guy who was a close talker, and his spit hit my lips.
A little spittle in your mouth?
And I wanted to say it, don't spray it, but since I'm not in the third grade anymore.
Right.
But that's okay. Like, you spit on me earlier, I didn't say anything.
Stop it. I never get close enough to spit on you because your pimpy aura.
A big logo. Steve Kerr said in the offseason, Michael, that the Celtics were the team to beat. And they said a lot of things in the offseason. I keep going back to media day in Oakland at their practice facility. And it was almost sort of like you were getting ready for your senior year in high school. It's like, you know what? Everything's going to change. We're all going our different ways in a year. Let's just enjoy this. Let's enjoy the ride. Let's enjoy each other's company. Let's not be all stressed out like we were when we were juniors, getting ready for SATs and college apps. Let's just go ahead and enjoy this. That's Kerr said that. Bob Myers said that as well, the general manager. And almost immediately, they couldn't enjoy it because, as Steve Kerr said, this is the real NBA, not this, you know, good ship lollipop we've been riding on all this time.
Right.
Well, that's why I kind of feel like now that Cousins is back, we're sort of back into our fantasy land again, and we're not in the real NBA. But you know what? This is the real NBA as far as the record books, and I'll take it, Herbs. Because as you were just saying about injuries, somebody's Achilles could go like that, and it all ends against it's a house of cards in pro sports. So let's savor it, man.
There's no doubt. You know, I was talking about the dog days of the NBA schedule and how this is kind of it, and it's refreshing for them, perfect time for DeMarcus to come back. But I find myself, just as a fan, I mean, you know, I tape all the games and I go back and I watch them. Sometimes I'll watch them multiple times and it takes me forever to watch a game.
Do you watch them with Greg Papa?
I do not. I do not. I don't think even Greg would like the way I watch games, because it just takes too long.
Oh, because you watch them in the raw.
Yeah, that's part of it too. No, but I, before Cousins made his debut, I felt victim to the dog days, because I would record it because I didn't feel like I had to watch it live, right? Okay, this is, you know, I want to watch the Warrior game, but I'm not going to change my schedule and watch it live. And I found a couple of times I never even went back and watched the recording. Like, for the first time during this stretch, I didn't watch an entire game. And then now that DeMarcus is with the team, I'm right back to changing my schedule, want to watch it live if at all possible. And if I have to watch it tape delayed, I don't want to hear about it, and I'll watch it like 3-4 times. It's invigorating, I think, to the fan base too.
You think about the Warriors in the late 80s, the early 90s. What was the biggest game of the year? It was when the Bulls came to town.
Mm-hmm.
We had to see Michael Jordan. I know, I had to get out there.
Or the Celtics or the Lakers.
Yeah, but especially Jordan. And then, of course, when LeBron went to Miami, that was also a huge deal around these parts. Think about the other cities in the NBA. You already had Steph, who's everyone's darling for a good reason. Every little kid wants a Steph jersey for a good reason, coast to coast and around the world. You got Durant. You got, well, we know who's on the Warriors. Now you add in the starting center for the United States of America, the country that invented basketball. And I mean,
in other words, he good.
In other words, run, don't walk wherever you are to see a Warrior game.
Fine on.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the first game that DeMarcus played, I think I watched the first quarter maybe 4 or 5 times. That's how sick I am, just to watch what I wanted to watch, Rick, and I'm still watching it. And Kalena Azubuike was on Warriors This Week with Steinmetz and JD, and he mentioned it. I was glad he mentioned it, because I thought, okay, maybe I'm looking too hard for something. But just the way he runs down court, it's, you can tell he's not quite there. And there were a couple times when, like that spin move, for instance, that he made in the most recent game, beautiful seal, spun, all he had to do was turn around and put it in. And that's what he did, but I think in 2 weeks from now, he's going to dunk on someone's head on that same move. I still sense that he's not quite trusting it 100%. He's probably about 90%. It's not like he looks bad, but if you're really looking for something, it's actually encouraging to me that you can see there's still room for him to grow, because he's been pretty damn good for them since he got there, and it's only going to get better.
By the way, Kalena Azubuike, our former Warrior, that guy, you know how Roz got snapped up by national TV?
Mm-hmm.
I think Kalena's next.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
He's got the look. Yep. You know, we can say this. He's
the pedigree.
Real good-looking guy, knows his hoop, very natural on the air. But the thing I love about Azubuike, a couple years ago, I was asking for a Tubby Smith story from college, and he went full. Ah! He had the voice. He did the full.
Really?
Whenever you have him on, have him do his Tubby Smith.
All right.
It's outstanding. If I'm Stevens today, the head coach of the Celtics, what I say is, hey, we're going to play a little Eastern Conference old school bad boy basketball. And what we're going to do with Cousins, because the guy's a powder keg, we're going to light that powder keg. And somebody here, you're going to foul out. But we're going to see what this guy's like. Because right now, as I said, it's all, you know, unicorns and rainbows and lollipops.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Cousins can't get mad like we all do. So it used to be, hey, let's get Draymond mad. Draymond has been playing the best basketball probably in 2 years in these last.
And he's actually, he argued for Boogie and got a T that
yeah,
one night.
I know. I love the fact that that they're so tight. And that, of course, goes back to even before the season in Rio, when they were in the Olympics together. And remember, they were staying on a ship. They weren't in the Olympic Village. They were on a luxury liner.
Yeah, feel free to separate yourself from your teammates.
I'll never forget when, remember the Dream Team in Barcelona, the greatest basketball team? One guy
said he was too good for the Olympic Village. He thought the Olympic Village was beneath him, and he stayed at a 4-star hotel. Do you know who that one guy was? It'd be surprising.
Don't tell me it was Christian Laettner.
It was John Stockton.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard he's kind of prickly, and if you remove the L-Y, that would be an apt description of him as well.
He's a prickly pear. Well, anyway, getting back to Cousins, that's how I would attack it right now. I would just, let's just, almost out of some sort of curiosity as a basketball fan. I mean, we're all, the coaches and players are all fans too. What will happen? You know, and then, of course, the dream of everyone in the West.
I feel like Stevens is above that.
I don't think he's above that. 'Cause no? He wants to win. It won't be diabolical. They don't want him to cut his knees out or something. It'll just be, hey, you know, when you're down there and they blow the whistle, maybe just an extra little shove.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to be tough enough as it is because of the teams that they've played so far. The Celtics are best equipped to combat what it is Boogie brings. You know, I mean, Al Horford is an active big man. So Boogie's going to have to run around a little bit on D. He can't just camp somewhere.
Where in Denver, they don't dream about air that they can breathe. What they dream of is Durant and Cousins and Draymond all pointing fingers at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then Draymond dressing down Cousins like he did Durant, except Durant, remember, he kept shtum on the whole thing. Cousins will not just sit there and take it. That's what they all dream of. And, of course, that's our basketball nightmare.
Right.
Is to see Draymond.
Which is why it's so great to hear that of Draymond is DeMarcus's best friend on the team. And if before this all happened, I could pick who I would want to be closest to DeMarcus as a warrior, I would pick Draymond because for the exact reason you're talking about. I mean, I think they can help protect each other from getting the bad tea. I saw in the game, the most recent game against Washington, DeMarcus got wronged. It was pretty clear it was a bad call, and Draymond was right there and grabbed him, turned him around, and was, I don't know what he was saying, obviously, but having a chat with him, getting him away from the referee. And it's great that I'm assuming next time Draymond gets all fired up, Boogie will return the favor and get him out of there.
Chilton Nobody text line 95795510 says, if Stevens is going to use that foul tactic, then why not start hard fouling Steph right out the gate? Well, you're missing my point. And by the way, the NBA tried that about 4 years ago, the Patrick Beverleys of the world. It's like, let's get Steph mad. And he never got mad. The point is to get Cousins mad enough to get himself a double T.
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. All right. Let's go to our good buddy, Sean Devaney, the NBA writer for the sporting news. And I know, Sean, you have to cover the entire league, but I'm sure when you see the Warriors, and not just the Warriors, but with Cousins at the Garden, two winning streaks on the line, this one is one that you probably underlined, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Certainly before the season, you would have thought that that this was an NBA Finals preview. And even as the Celtics have struggled, and certainly the Warriors had some struggles earlier in the year, you know, you still get the sense that these are probably two teams we're going to see standing at the end of the year when we get to June. You know, Steve Kerr was saying at shoot-around here just this morning that, you know, he said, you know, obviously there's other good teams in the East, but the Celtics are one that they have their eye on and that they're curious to see how they match up just because the Celtics are built in such a way that more so than any other team in the league, they're probably built to give the Warriors a pretty good playoff series.
Yeah, Sean, as you mentioned, you know, the Celtics going into the season were the favorite to come out of the East for sure. Now, I don't know if Toronto's play thus far has, you know, if they've supplanted the Celtics in that regard. But one of the reasons I don't think the Celtics are where a lot of people expected them to is that Gordon Hayward isn't quite the player that they thought they were getting. Obviously, the injury is a huge part of that, and the Warriors are integrating DeMarcus Cousins, and it's clear that he's at about, I would say, because I know DeMarcus's game and I've been able to watch him a lot, he's probably at about 80% of, you know, full impact, and I think he will get there. Where is Gordon Hayward, or is he just not, has he just regressed as a player? Is this all injury related?
You know, it's beyond the injury, I think. There's no question that that was part of it early on in the year. But I think at this point, you know, we're talking about a full, almost a year and a half here removed from that injury. That shouldn't be that much of a factor. What's happened is as he's come back in, he's trying to come back in onto a team that has had some different dynamics. You know, you have Jaylen Brown had his emergence during the postseason last year. Same with Jason Tatum, and I think that the way they play with Marcus Smart on the floor, they need to start him in that starting five. So, you know, all that has kind of left Gordon Hayward without a role, and it seems like he's had trouble really asserting himself or finding out what his niche is with this team. You know, he's carrying the $30 million a year pay salary. As long as that's the case, you certainly expect more of him than just a six man, but that's the role he's being asked to play, and he doesn't seem that comfortable with it. So, yeah, I think the injury is maybe a little bit still affecting him, but I think it's more he just doesn't know what his role is here, and has had a hard time really you know, defining where he fits in with this team, and you really see it that he can be really tentative at times when he plays. When he has some good games where he's sort of playing loose and free, maybe somebody else is injured and you know, he's got to play a bigger role, you can see flashes of that old Gordon Hayward. But it just hasn't been consistent.
Kyrie Irving has been cleared to play today, and you think about his career, a guy who hit the most famous shot in the history of the Cavs, but we also know he's a little bit volatile, and just recently talking about how, you know, looking back at his perceived now petulance that he had with LeBron in Cleveland and almost having to apologize to some of his younger teammates, but we've also heard rumblings that he's already looking ahead to his next team. I just wonder, I mean, the talent there is undeniable with Kyrie Irving. He's a fantastic player. Is it just almost like a week-by-week thing to make sure that that guy's happy? He's such a hard read for me. What do you think?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. And I do think that he has said, originally he said something along the lines of he's looking forward to testing free agency. He said that, you know, back before the season started. Then he bounced back and said, no, he's looking forward to re-signing with the Celtics and keeping to the notion of building this team as it stands. And then he's kind of wavered on that since. So that really has been something that, you know, his free agency has sort of loomed over all this. But, you know, I think the bigger issue for him is just being a leader. And he's really had some trouble with that and some stumbles with that. He's certainly the most outspoken. He tries to do so in a more quiet way. He's not necessarily an in-your-face kind of guy. Al Horford is probably more of a leader in terms of leading by example, but he's not a very outspoken guy. He's a pretty quiet guy. So, you know, I think leadership on the team has been something that that has been a question. Irving has been trying to take that mantle, and you mentioned the thing with LeBron. I don't know how well that went over with Kyrie's current teammates, where he called LeBron and apologized for the way he was when he was 22, because he looks around and sees how these guys are when they're 22. You know, I'm sure some of these guys are sitting there and saying, "Wait, you know, you're 26. I mean, it's not like you're, you know, it's not like you're that much older, man." So I think the leadership thing has really been a bit of a struggle. You know, I mentioned that Hayward has had trouble finding his niche in the team. A lot of guys have had that. That's been the Celtics' big problem. You know, it's not a bad problem to have. It's almost like they've got too much talent on the roster. But they have had problems, I think, with the leadership and having people, you know, really know what their roles are. And that should come from the leader.
Sean, Brad Stevens is widely regarded as one of the best coaches in the association. What is his style? What makes him so good? Is it a command of X and O's? Is it the ability to make all these different personalities and egos mesh? What's his strength?
And I do think that he does, you know, we mentioned the leadership thing, and some of that is on him. You know, some of that has been exposed a little bit on his part that, you know, coming from the college ranks, especially a mid-major college like Butler, into the NBA, you know, managing the locker room, managing the personalities, that's part of your job. And it's something that he's never really been that comfortable with. But X's and O's is really where his bread and butter is. His defense is very, very solid. They do make very, very good adjustments in terms of how they can shut down the lane on you, the switches that they can make. They have a versatile lineup, so he really has his team understanding where the switches will come, and really just about every guy is able to switch onto every other guy. So that's the defense has been probably the most consistent thing. The offense has been really good this year too. They move the ball. They do run almost a college style offense with the way they move the ball, and they can get some side to side movement and create open shots that way. You see a lot of guys racking up assists. It's not just the point guard Kyrie Irving. You see, Al Horford usually around 5-6 assists. Marcus Smart gets quite a few assists. The idea was for Gordon Hayward to do some of that as well. So the offense is very much a ball movement offense, perimeter shooting, creating those open shots. But the defense is probably where he's been the most consistent as a coach.
Rick Tittle and Michael Urban here, 95.7 The Game with Sean Devaney of the Sporting News. A couple more questions for Sean. The Cousins addition has been just, absolutely entertaining beyond belief and highly effective on the court here through three games. I have heard some people say, though, outside of the Bay Area that, Cousins is a volatile type, and this is just a broken wall that's been covered over with wallpaper, and something will happen. It always does with that guy. We don't see that yet. We just think this is nothing but a party. What's your view on the outside looking in?
Well, I mean, that was one of the brilliant things about him signing with the Warriors last summer, that he sort of did for himself. He was going into a situation where, he knew he'd have to be sort of on his best behavior. I don't want to put it that way. It sounds like he's a school kid. But, he'd have to be he'd have to keep his outbursts to a minimum. Playing with the Warriors, playing on a winning team, getting the kind of opportunities he's getting, the frustrations that bothered him in the past, it's hard to think that that's going to bother him now, given what he's coming back into, the team atmosphere is coming into. So I think that's number one. And then number two, he knows, look, he's a free agent this summer, and part of the gamble of signing with the Warriors for $5.5 million was that he'd be able to come back, show he's healthy, put to rest some of those concerns about his attitude, about his volatility, and then hit the summer and sign with the team. Not the Warriors, obviously. They're not going to be able to pay him, but sign with another team. Having shown that he can be the same DeMarcus Cousins he was before he got hurt, and maybe a little bit more mature. So for him, I think all that's working out well, and I don't think anything's going to crack with the Warriors because he's got a lot at stake. Maybe the next team that signs him is going to have to worry about that. But with the Warriors, I think he's got too much at stake to be a hothead. And I think he knows that. I think he knows he's got to show that he can be his absolute best NBA self, while he has the chance before he hits free agency. I think that's how he's going to approach this. And for the Warriors, that's a great thing because that means they probably don't have to worry about that volatility as much as the next team that signs him is going to have to worry about it.
All right, Sean, you've been covering the league very closely for a very long time. Let's assume that DeMarcus gets back to where he was before, and let's assume that everybody stays healthy from here on out. Everyone in the NBA stays completely healthy, Sean. Are the Warriors unbeatable in that scenario?
Yeah, I mean, you see how good they look when he's on the floor right now, and they still make some of the same mistakes in terms of their unforced turnovers, mm-hmm. but they've been doing that even before he was there. So what he does is he gives you an option in the middle that anytime you need 2 points, he can get it. You know, if you run, they don't run a lot of pick and roll, but if you run a pick and roll where he's your roll man and Steph Curry is the ball handler or Kevin Durant is the ball handler, there's never been a pick and roll combination quite like that. So that can always get you a couple of points. And he's such a good passer. You know, that fits right in with what they do. There's really just when those five are on the floor, even when they go small, when they have to take him out, you know, you have the normal killer lineup, and then you can go with a killer big lineup. So, it's just hard to see how any team matches up with them.
Hey, Sean, you know, it's kind of funny because we know that KD can opt out. We know that Klay can leave, even though we think that's highly improbable. Do you see a scenario where Cousins, the Warriors are begging him to come back, and he loves it here so much. He knows Northern California so well. And Kerr said before the year, hey, we know it's just for 1 year. Maybe it's not.
I don't see that happening. I just don't see how that, you know, you can, he went to the Warriors so he could make a lot of money next summer. You know, he's not going to come back on another $5 million deal. So I just don't see that happening. I think if they're lucky enough to keep both Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, I think they'll look at that as a win this summer.
All right. That is Sean Devaney. Make sure to follow him on Twitter at Sean Devaney. That's SeanDeveney. And you can read him in the sporting news. Sean, thanks for your time, especially on a weekend. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sean.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
All righty then. And the lines are open where if you'd like to chime in from. We can get you at 888-957-9570. Once again, 888-957-9570. Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk a little bit about Antonio Brown and some of the drama, self-created drama going on there. But Herb's a little bit more about the NBA here. But I do want to look at the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. You were talking about at the Gridiron Gala that someone thought that you were Matt Steinmetz, and Tim from San Jose says that you do sound like Matt, so he could see it.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think so at all. Matt's kind of got a little East Coast Philly accent to
him. The only different thing is he'll go,
eh.
Yeah, and you'll go,
I know. Wow, I don't know that I've ever coughed on air. I know where the cough button is.
It doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
That's Matt right there.
But I'm a glass half full guy, and I think it's fair to say Steiny is a glass half empty, no?
It's just everybody has their own spiel.
See,
it's their natural self.
And my stock line is I'm having the best time, and I think Steinies would be.
All right, this is the thing. I'll just throw this at you, Herbs, and of course, this is speculation. I refuse. I've seen too much sports in my life, and so have you, to just say Boogie's not coming back next year.
Right, I'm with you. I agree.
Yeah.
I can see a scenario in which he says, you know what? I can do this for one more year, and then I'll get the fat paycheck. Look, winning rings is why they all were told, and we'd like to think that that is the sole motivation of professional athletes, is win, win, win. Now, we know that money comes over winning with a lot of players who will tell you that winning comes first, but, you know, actions speak louder than words. I could absolutely see DeMarcus having such a great time here, getting that ring, getting the disease of more and wanting to come back. I mean, the guy's made $80 million in his career. If he's got to wait another year for another fat paycheck, why not, man? If you're all about winning, stay here and win.
We saw LaMarcus Aldridge take less to be a Spur because he thought that would get him a ring. We saw Gordon Hayward leave Utah to go to the Celtics because, well, let's just face it, the Celtics are one of the storied NBA franchises. The Jazz aren't no slouch, but obviously they're incomparable if you talk about the pedigree of those franchises.
Right.
So, yeah, but I will say this about athletes. You should get every penny you can. And we saw the quote from Kevin Durant a few weeks ago about his next thing is to make as much money as he possibly can and stack it up, in his words. And I have no problem with that whatsoever, because in pro sports, the minute they whatever sport is, the minute they can find somebody younger, better, cheaper, whatever, you're out.
Right.
You're done. And if these owners, they pay this money because they're still making money off you. Remember, what was it, Beyonce's Pepsi contract was like $50 million? And I thought, how much Pepsi do they have to move for that endorsement to be worth it. But obviously, they're making way more than $50 million by Beyonce being the you know, the official, whatever, putting her on Pepsi cans, whatever it was.
Right, right.
So I don't ever begrudge an athlete taking every penny. I remember being on these airwaves when CeCe Sabathia went to the Yankees, and there were a lot of Giants fans that were upset because they said, he's just being greedy. I go, he's just being greedy. They were opening a brand new Yankee stadium. He was going to the greatest team in the history of baseball. As an A's fan, I recognize that. The greatest team, the greatest American sports team ever in any sport. And they're going to pay way more money, and they'll probably go to the playoffs every year.
And it's a globally iconic franchise.
And that's the other thing. Remember Uribe, shortstop for the Giants, 2010 World Series champs, right? It was also the White Sox shortstop when they won the World Series. He went to the Dodgers for $1 million more, and people said, it's only $1 million. I go, take a step back and repeat what you just said into a mirror. It's only $1 million. So when KD says he wants to stack it up, and to us, like you said about Cousins, 80, 90 million, who cares? Well, that's an extra $10 million. And we do know Uncle Sam takes half. It's French tax, by the way. I always say that. When it comes to the government, it's 50%, like you're in Denmark or something. It's sort of like, you know, the only place that you and I experience European tax is at a drive-thru. And everyone who's gone through a drive-thru for fast food will know this. You can drive up to a fast food window and say, yeah, you're a special value meal. I'd like a $1 McChicken, a $1 small fry, and a $1 Diet Coke. $8.31 at the window, please. That's basically what these guys have to do. Are you with me? You look confused.
You only mentioned four items off the dollar menu, and then you went to eight something.
That's what I said. There's this bizarre French tax that kicks in. That's how we experience it. Three things for a dollar, $8.31 at the window, please. I don't know how that works.
All right.
Boogie Cousins, every athlete, you basically have to give just about half to Uncle Sam so to buy him hand grenades.
Gotcha. Yeah. Now, with Durant, specifically Durant, if he wasn't doing things like he's doing in every community that he touches, where it, be it Austin, where he went to college, Maryland, where he grew up, he was big in the community in Seattle. He's done work here. We know about what he's done in Oklahoma City. He just donated $10 million to get that thing going, the school, the program that he started in Maryland.
Unbelievable.
If he wasn't doing things like that, then I would hear his quote of, I just want to stack the money. And I'm sorry, I'm human. I would begrudge him that. That would upset me, a guy who's really made so much money and talking about stacking more. But now when you see that, okay, what's he doing with this money? Well, he's doing great things. So, yeah, stack it up, man.
See, for me, he has a talent that very few people in the history of the world has. And he's worked at it. Everybody talks about God-given talent. You still got to work at it.
Mm-hmm.
You and I, my gosh, the playgrounds of Richmond, I know some of the greatest natural athletes I've ever seen in my life. But because of bad grades or getting into trouble, whatever, it's just you still, even if you have that talent, it still has to be honed and coached, and you got to work at it right. Really, really hard. Getting back to this money thing, and this is an aside, can you help me with this, Herbs? We know that Robey Coleman from the Rams, of course, he had the hit on Tommy Lee Lewis that everyone, we'll get to this later, but the fine for helmet to helmet, $26,739. And all I can think of is it must have been fined in euros. And then this was sort of the conversion rate. Why was it $26,739?
Aren't these fines like set before the season or once the rules in? Okay, you break this, this is how much it costs. It's not like it's a sliding scale.
Think this was like Roger Goodell at the 19th hole, 10 martinis in. How much you want to fine that guy? $26,000.
Just randomly selected.
And then right when the guy left, and 19 cents. And he didn't get that part.
Maybe it was they're basing like each national column that rips their inability to review and make that call is worth X amount of dollars in fine.
By the way, there was this guy on the floor of Congress, the Senate, actually, senator from Louisiana. This guy went off about how Bill Cassidy is his name. about how this was the worst call in the history of football.
Oh,
shut up. First of all, as a Raider fan, welcome to my world. Okay?
I knew that was coming.
I have no sympathy for those fans. I really don't. Because that has happened forever, and it will continue to happen forever. And the funny thing is that Ben Watson, who sat down with me on Radio Row before Super Bowl 50, he's actually a really, really cool stand-up guy. He's yelling at Goodell for saying, why aren't you saying anything? And the funny thing is, in our society now, if you say something, you get ripped.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't say something, you get
right.
ripped. If I was Goodell, I would say, look, Al Riveron's the guy I hired. He's on my staff. He called Peyton 2 seconds after the game was over. That's my statement.
Right.
That's what I would say.
Is this probably the most high-profile bad call, right? I mean, I don't ever remember.
I think the Tuck rule, and I think the immaculate reception, which they got wrong on two counts. Number one, it came off of Fuqua.
But they didn't have replay wasn't an option then.
Do you know that they actually went into the tunnel, they looked at the replay, and the guy came out and raised his hands? That was the unofficial use of replay.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
And it had come off Fuqua, and if it had come off Tatum, then he would have been able to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Rob Lytle's fumble. Oh, I'll go on and on if you want. Dwayne Osteen's improper knee pads in the playoffs against Cleveland. I'll go on and on. It's just funny that you have a United States. Do you think it's heartwarming that the senator is listening to his constituents saying, hey, we care about this? Or do you think in the middle of a government shutdown?
Yeah, I'm that one. Before you even finish, I'm going to pick that one.
Yeah, you'll probably pick that one as well. And I got to say, probably the best money that Roby Coleman has ever spent. Because you think about what you win if you get to the Super Bowl.
Exactly. It costs him $26,000 to get to the Super Bowl.
As a former writer, you still write, but a newspaper, you know that a lot of times you don't pick the headline.
Yes.
You write, yeah. The editor picks the headline, but the Times-Picayune in the Big Easy, the big headline on that call was "Reffing Unbelievable." It's pretty good, isn't it?
That is good.
Could you imagine Goodell?
It took me a split second to figure it out, but yeah.
Goodell calling Kroenke with this sort of arcane rule, paragraph 9, section 21I, that he can actually have full power to just say, actually, the Saints won the game. Kroenke, who's building a $5 billion palace in Los Angeles and saying, by the way, you lost. He would get de-pantsed and fleeced. He'd come out of there wearing his boxers. Who knew that Goodell wore SpongeBob boxers? And he would be fleeced. He would look like Phil Silvers when he came out. Does anybody get the Phil Silvers, Sergeant Bilko reference?
You know what? I want to know why Goodell hasn't, because I do think, look, with all the examples that you pointed out, the egregious officiating errors that will go down in history and people will remember them for years and years and years. And this certainly falls into that category. And I think it's gotten more attention just because the world we live in now, there's so much more attention on everything. I don't know. Do you think maybe Goodell should have called a press conference, stood up publicly and just said, look, we recognize that this happened and how bad it was. And here are the steps we're going to try to take to ensure it never happens again. Just be a leader and acknowledge that it was awful and say, we're going to try to get better. I think that would have, I don't know what it would have helped, but I would have kind of liked to see that from a commissioner of a league.
Gail Benson, who inherited the team from her father, she's actually one of the richest people in America. She said, let's make sure this doesn't happen again, which I thought was a nice way of putting it instead of, no, let's get the game overturned. But you got to remember that Roger Goodell has 32 bosses, mm-hmm. and the most powerful boss of all when it comes to cash is Stan Kroenke. So would you stand up and say, my boss is dumb, and we'll make sure he's not dumb anymore? Because that's kind of what you're saying. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back. 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Urban and Tittle.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to 95.7 The Game. Rick Tittle and Michael Urban with you. We'll be with you all the way up until 4 o'clock. We'll get you ready for a Warriors warm-up. It's going to be a great game. The Warriors at the Celtics. And by the way, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, the number one sports radio station in the Bay Area. Michael Urban is drying his hair. He'll be back in just a second. So let's go to the Chilton Autobody text line at 95795. Rick, how much stock do you put into the combine? And we'll talk a little football here before we bring in Anthony Watrado, Major League Baseball writer for ESPN, in about 20 minutes. The thing about the combine, and as you say, the emphasis on the other syllable in football, it's not offense, defense, and combine. It's offense, defense, combine. You can have combine creatures.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.